Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
Welcome in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albracht alongside Tommy Kester. Jad Chambers is manning that IHOP hotline, 869-1240, brought to you by IHOP. That's one way to get in touch with the program. We have a lot of ways you can get in touch with the program. You can do that by watching us on the 12 News Connected app. You can leave us your comments on Facebook, YouTube, or X. You can leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app. Lots of ways that we can talk to you. We're happy to do it on a Friday. Fridays are always fun. I've been bouncing around the last couple of Fridays. I'm happy to be grounded and ready to make a redemption and in some picks later in the show, as we'll bring in Paul Savage and Brandon Zenner and TJ Cleland to do those picks. We'll talk a little high school football with TJ later on in the show as well. We'll also have our regularly scheduled Thursday betting insider, PJ Glasser, coming up this hour. He had a schedule change, so we'll get some of his favorite plays this weekend. We'll get you ready. Everything's primed and geared up for a football weekend, Tommy, and the Royals shrink the number to 1, and things are looking pretty good to get Kansas City into the postseason. And maybe if they can handle business or get a little help right out of the gates here, set a rotation is back on the table a little bit for the Royals.
Yeah, I think that really everything, at least on paper, is setting up the way that the Royals would like it to kind of play out in spite of everything else that's happened recently. It's interesting how quickly things can shift and change for a team like the Royals. And you go into Washington, you sweep that series against the Nationals. They absolutely needed to do that. And I went into it thinking, you know what, even if they can take 2 of 3, at least get themselves in a better position for the weekend. But sweeping that series, massive for Kansas City, the way that they were able to close that game out in the ninth inning and, you know, be able to ultimately push across the number of runs they needed and then, shut the door and walk away with the sweep, again, set you up really nicely for this weekend with the magic number being 1. And really, now you've got several different chances to clinch and get into the playoffs. And really, they could, get the help from the Twins, also. They don't even necessarily have to do anything themselves. All they have to do is wait for a Twins loss. So there's a lot of different ways that, the Royals can get into the postseason. And it was really essential with that sweep.
Yeah, and that's what, look, the Royals they face a situation now where they must be swept and Minnesota sweep,
yes,
to not reach the postseason. So honestly, I don't even care about the positioning with the Tigers. It means nothing to me. I care more about being able to go into a series with Reagans and Lugo starting the first two games of that series. Some of the weirdness that had been going against the Royals over the week prior started to go right for them in the National Series. Joey Gallo missing a home run in the ninth inning, I believe that was the first game, by a couple of feet, right? Like, just those little tiny things that had been piling up. Last night's ninth inning was a good example. That was wacky. Pinch hitters, base stealing, all these things to lead to it. Ursig was great. The bullpen continues to be great lately. Bullpen's been fantastic lately. So I think you really like the way this lines up. And this is what we've been, it's always been on the table. And by the way, Vinny Pasquantino's been taking batting practice. So who knows? Maybe he could pop back up at some point here early in a postseason. But you'd really like to get there and get it done somehow today. Somehow, whether it's Singer beating the Braves or the Twins just losing another game, you'd love to see it. Because right now, you have to throw Lugo and Reagans in the second two games if you're still trying to clinch that playoff spot. You have to, right? You're not going to pull them back. If they can do it tonight, Tommy, you start a series with those two. And that is where the Royals become really, really dangerous to the opposition in the postseason. In that scenario, you'd likely see Waka starting a third game or Lorenzen starting a third game or whatever it is, not Singer. Singer's going to pitch today. Singer's greatest value to this team right now, the way things have been going for him lately, is to get them into the postseason right now, because he's not going to be one of, probably not going to be one of the top four starters in a playoff rotation at this point. So, you know, his greatest contribution to whatever it is the Royals end up doing this year could very well be what he does tonight. Now, I don't know what the hurricane out there is going to do to any of this, but Singer has been bad. We'll just put it quite bluntly, for a long time now. He hasn't been really good since mid-August. And even then, his great stretch where he was just nails ended when the calendar turned to August. It's been a while since we've seen the Brady Singer we saw for a lot of the season. So if he can get them through this, though, Tommy, it lines up. And if it lines up, and we've been saying this forever, if it lines up for the Royals, their starting pitching is, I mean, I'm not taking an overall rotation over anybody. And the way the bullpen's pitching, you really like their chances if they can get this one today and line it up that way.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on this a lot. I don't think people quite appreciate how stressed out I am right now going into this
weekend.
I know. You know, because I've been a lifelong Braves fan, and of course I'm a Royals fan. I, you know, followed the Royals my entire life. Both teams, I've cheered them on. And I knew, obviously, when the schedule came out that they were going to face each other in the final weekend of the series, of the season. At the time, you know, nobody thought that the Royals would be in this particular position. Now you've got both teams that are fighting for their playoff lives. And I, somebody asked me on X yesterday who I was rooting for, who I was pulling for in this series this weekend. Honestly, I'm the biggest Orioles fan on the face of the planet tonight. Basically, and I needed the Marlins to beat the Twins last night. I was so happy that they did that. And really what I want to have happen is I want the Twins, and this is just me personally, I want the Orioles to beat the Twins tonight, and I would love the Braves to sweep the Royals. Right. Because they, at least for me, that's my scenario. My best case scenario, being a fan of both of those teams. But for the Royals in general, yeah, if you can get Singer to pitch great tonight and win this game, Max Fried for the Braves has been really up and down this year. He's got fantastic stuff. He always has had fantastic stuff. But the win-loss record is not quite there for Fried. And there have been a few times this season, especially as of late, where he's given up a lopsided number. And so if the Royals can jump on him early, then that could happen. Max Fried is not shut down like Chris Sale is in that rotation for the Royals. And so obviously the Royals having potentially the opportunity to miss Chris Sale, I think is going to play big also for them this weekend.
Yeah, so Atlanta has decided then Sale's just going to go in an elimination game. Mm-hmm. That worries me less than it did 24 hours ago.
And the whole reason for that, by the way, is that Max Fried, from everything that I've read, Max Fried is very much a routine type pitcher. He's not the kind of guy that he doesn't like to pitch on extra rest. It's got to be in that, you know, kind of cadence with the rotation. So he's going to pitch tonight, but Chris Sale, it doesn't bother him one bit to pitch on extra rest. So they can hold him, they can keep him, you know, ready to roll.
And the Royals certainly would, worst case scenario is you don't do it. All of a sudden the Twins are winning their games, and then Sunday you face Chris Sale, and it's like, okay, like what's going on? But because that late game Marlins win last night, that really, really opens up
huge. All
the possibilities. And Minnesota, you know, their game tonight, this doesn't feel like the game. This doesn't feel like the game. So that's where I go back to a Singer win. They're going up against a bad pitcher for Baltimore who's just trying to set things. But it's all lining up for us. Let's continue this after the break, and we'll look at what a potential, you know, run is for how the Royals could set a rotation if they can get there, and if they can get there quickly. And if they don't, what's the other side of that? We'll get into that when we return. Your calls, Royals fans. We're going to get into a ton of football throughout the show, so we want to make sure we get in some Royals talk here early on the program today. 869-1240, you can chime in. You can leave us your video comments. You can leave us your voice messages. All kinds of ways to get in touch with the program. All this baseball coverage on KFH brought to you by T-Mobile. Head into T-Mobile.com and get a great deal on an iPhone 16 Pro. More Royals talk when we return on Sports Daily. All right. right, who's thirsty? You want to win some HTO? You can do that right now. Enter our contest. Win some free iced tea, more than 20 flavors to choose from. Not only that, you get a free coffee as well, iced or hot, including all options of the Dirty Chai Apple Crisp or the Mocha Butter Pecan. Good luck, everybody. All you got to do to win those two gifts from us are text the keyword T, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. Good luck on the contest. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Those are good, by the way, for any of the three Wichita Metro locations. We're talking Royals baseball. We're down to a magic number of one. Best case scenario, really, other than, you know, other than it being zero, I suppose, coming out of the National Series. That's pretty dang good. So now we look at it, and the Royals still have to get there. Minnesota is staying home to play a Baltimore team who basically has everything wrapped up. They know exactly what they'll be doing. There's nothing else on the table for Baltimore. Minnesota's playing poorly. Who knows what that means? Maybe a player, but you know, baseball teams don't roll over in these instances, so you never know, but it does make it a little bit more difficult. So it's on Brady Singer tonight. Then what you'd have in this series, if Singer can't get it, the Twins don't help for the Royals. You'll get Lugo, and then you'll get Reagans. So what that would mean, Tommy, the postseason right now, we only know that the Astros will open their series on Tuesday, and then we know the Brewers will open their series on Tuesday. So what we would assume is that Baltimore will open their series on Wednesday. But we also don't know, right? The Yankees and Cleveland are playing for the bye. Is that right? I don't even remember what this is. So you got the Yankees and Cleveland playing for the bye. Baltimore's not going to get that, but we don't know who they're playing. We don't know when they're playing. Basically, the point of all of that is to say the Royals would either play Tuesday or Wednesday. So if, you know, if you get to that point, then you're looking at 5 days rest. If they don't get it done tonight and they need Lugo tomorrow and then they get it done there, Lugo would line up, I believe, Tommy, for a game two, most likely, in that series, and you would start the series with Reagans. If you didn't get it done then and then you have to go Reagans, well, then you're looking at a situation where perhaps it could be, it probably would be those two in games two and three instead of one and two in some combination. So, you know, not pitching Sunday, like it's almost certain, I would guess, that those two guys will start two of the games in a wild card series. Almost certain, but you'd sure like it to be on the front end, not the back end.
Yeah, and I think that the Royals will try to do everything they possibly can to make that happen. I mean, obviously, it's going to depend upon when they can clinch. And best case scenario is clinching tonight in Atlanta, one way or the other. Either they win the game with Singer or the Twins lose at Baltimore. And I know that the Orioles have all their everything locked up for the most part. I mean, they know that they're in. But the Twins haven't particularly been playing very well recently.
They just lost two games out of three to 100 loss
Marlins. And the pitching for the Twins, especially the bullpen, has not been good. They've been pretty shaky as of late, too. So, you know, I wouldn't necessarily count out the possibility of the Twins losing tonight and the Royals clinching. If I'm Matt Quatrero and the Royals are able to clinch tonight one way or the other, then, you know, Saturday and Sunday, I'm doing everything that I can to get my entire team ready to roll for whatever this wild card series is, wherever they go. And so, you know, to me, that would mean probably, I would try to maybe throw Alec Marsh in one of those games this weekend, probably Waka in the other one. I would look at a lineup that, you know, maybe gives a couple guys some rest, you know, to get them ready. Because keep in mind, they left Kansas City on Monday. They flew to Washington. Now they're in Atlanta. They're going to go somewhere else for a wild card series. So that grind is there. The travel is there. I wouldn't even just necessarily look at the pitching. I would look at the lineup also and see, okay, if we can get the game clinched tonight, or honestly, even on Saturday, then you've got Sunday to do the same thing. Try to get as many guys the rest necessary to get them ready for a wild card series.
Yeah, and these are the things that'll make it interesting. Like we just talked about the Braves making some of these decisions, but like, are Lugo and Reagans good to go on long rest? Do they want regular rest? Do they need to get a bullpen session in to keep their, you know, their groove? I don't know that. I think probably it doesn't matter for Lugo. Reagans would be the interesting one. you know, if he wants regular rest. But if you get it done tonight, then it shouldn't matter. You should be able to go games one and two with those two. The other option is to start somebody else in game one and let those guys be your games two and three starters. And if you get it done in two games, then you get one of them going in game one of potentially the next series, which is advantageous because we know in a stretched out series, right, that a game one starter could potentially pitch three times.
The only one that I would be comfortable with the Royals doing that with would be Lorenzen. If they can get Lorenzen in game one,
to start a
game one, if they were not able to get Lugo or Reagans ready to go for a game one, then I would do Lorenzen. And honestly, the way that the Royals handled Lorenzen earlier this week, I think you probably give him a little bit more
Lorenzen over Waka
two and a third. I would trust the combination of Lorenzen and Lynch together probably more than Waka in a game one situation. Not that I don't trust Waka, but I honestly wouldn't mind having him in my back pocket either, for maybe later in the series.
I think it would be more likely that they'd go with Waka with Lorenzen and Lynch able to bail out any pitcher. They're going to be in a position of strength. If they can get this done today and they don't need to use long innings on anybody, they're going to be in a position of strength because they can have a quick trigger for their starters too. Like, not only do they have, you know, this great rotation, but they've got either Lorenzen or Waka who's irrelevant essentially, unless one of them struggles in a three game series.
It'd be Lorenzen and Lynch.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, if you go Waka, you have Lorenzen or you don't need him and he's ready to roll or vice versa.
Yeah.
I'd probably start Waka honestly, because of Lorenzen's experience in that versatility. I mean, Lynch has been pitching. Everybody out of the bullpen has been pitching really well. So, the starters aren't going to be asked to do too much. What I would do, and I may do this anyway, even if they're not clinched, if any Pasquantino's taking live BP, I'd have, especially if they clinch it, I'd lead him off and make him a DH in the last two games and just say, let's see what you got. Just get out there. Like, what's it going to hurt? Just get out there and swing.
Yeah, so Aaron Rodgers.
Let's see if you can do it.
Aaron Rodgers, who covers the team in Kansas City, reported yesterday that Pasquantino was taking live batting practice in Washington and sending several balls over the fence. He's what, like 3 weeks removed from surgery, which is just wild to think that he's able to, at least even take batting practice.
I think he's a week and a half ahead of schedule.
Yeah, so that's going to be interesting. The other thing that I would do if the Royals are able to clinch tonight, I'm not throwing Urcig at all on Saturday or Sunday. Like, get him rested.
I think you got to have a conversation. You got to have a conversation with Urcig. Now, he's gassed right now because he's bit. But you also, it's hard because with closers, sometimes they like to be in that specific role and it messes with them if they're not. But they've used Urcig enough ways and in different places. I would have a conversation with him. Do you want to get an inning in Saturday or Sunday? Make sure you're sharp for Tuesday and Wednesday. I think you have to ask him that question. I don't know that putting relief pitchers on ice like that for 4 days is the right way to go, because you can do whatever you want. They can basically get their work in a game. You don't care at this point. So if Bubich and or Urcig, they're like, you know what, I'd like to get an inning in Saturday or Sunday or Sunday before a Tuesday game, that gives you a regular day of rest on Monday, and then you're ready to roll. I wouldn't be surprised if you see all those guys pitch on a Sunday just so they stay in a groove. But those are conversations, like, we're not privy to that. Those are conversations Quatrero has with his guys, with his pitching coaches. Like, who wants to pitch? Who's good with rest? Who wants the rest? Like, you got to make those decisions that way. We're just guessing. I am. On whether a guy would prefer one thing or the other. I do think you have to protect your starters a little bit from themselves, but for bullpen guys, you leave it all on the table. It's so crazy when we talk about the difference between Wednesday and now. No, Tuesday and now, because we've got this situation where the Royals, it was like, oh, hell, they're not going to get in. They're going to blow it.
Yeah.
And now you look at it, and when you look across the landscape, I mean, the biggest concern by far is the offense. There's no question about that. But if you're looking at it, like, the Royals are really set up for success here. Really big way.
From an offensive point of view, they start the series against the Nationals with one run. Then they get to three runs. Then last night, it's kind of like the floodgates open a little bit. I mean, I know it wasn't like this massive offensive onslaught, but it had been over a week since they had scored that many runs in a game as they did last night. And so I think that's important for sure as they not only get into this series this weekend, but entering into the playoffs. And I mean, it was 72 hours ago that I sat right here and I said, I don't think the Royals are going to make the playoffs. I said, I think it's more likely than not that they don't. They got that magic number from 6-1 in 3 days, which is wild. And it's not just them. I mean, they had some help from the Twins and, you know, that sort of thing. But to me, I don't know if there is another team in Major League Baseball that has had such wild swings in such a short amount of time all season than the Kansas City Royals. And this is another example of that. There are teams out there like, take the Dodgers, for example, or the Phillies, for example. You know what you're going to get from them basically night in and night out. Can they go on have a rough streak? Sure. Can it be not ideal? Absolutely. Can they get hot? Absolutely. But by and large, you know what you're going to get from those teams. The Royals, it's like so like top of the mountain highs and bottom of the valley lows. And it's been that way all season long. And it just changes on a dime all the freaking time.
It can be a good thing. The last year's World Series champion, the Texas Rangers, were the same way, and they got hot offensively heading into the postseason. I know PJ Glasser's in the waiting room, and he'll appreciate this if he can hear me, and I think he can while he's in the waiting room. I got money on the Royals to win the World Series 200-1, Tommy. 200-1, baby.
Pretty solid.
Can we make it back-to-back years? My Rangers bet last year. And I got the Royals even longer odds. Not nearly as much money on the line, but it's a good pay.
They got to clinch first.
200-1 is a good pay.
They got to clinch.
I know. Got to get there. Got to get there. And don't worry, Royals fans. That's not a jinx because last year I talked about my Rangers bet probably every day and they won it anyway. So no jinxing there. But I figured PJ would appreciate that while he was in the waiting room. Speaking of, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little football. PJ Glasser, our betting insider, joins the show next to get us ready for the weekend.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
Right on the line now, the host of Send It In and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Also, be sure and listen to the Send It In podcast. For more analysis, just search Send It In wherever you find your podcasts. We do welcome in PJ Glasser now. A regular Thursday visit moved to a Friday, helping us get primed for a football weekend. PJ, welcome in. How are you?
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Appreciate you being flexible this week. Yesterday ended up being my off day, so working today, but it's good. We get another day to look at some of these lines, watch stuff move. So yeah, great to be with you guys.
Let's kick it off with some college football. One of the first games of the day, one of the best games of the day, and it features one of the teams we follow, Kansas State. Provo was real, real weird last week. Oklahoma State comes in as well from a loss out of a Utah team. K-State's a 4.5-point favorite. It was at 5.5, I think, when it opened. So it's moved a little bit toward Oklahoma State. But that surprises me a little bit, PJ. What's your read on that line?
Yeah, I would probably lean towards Oklahoma State, guys, plus the points. It's not an official bet for me, but both of these teams, I kind of look at them the same in terms of both of their quarterbacks are really struggling to throw the ball right now, right? K-State, obviously, with Avery Johnson, we know what kind of athlete he is, struggling to throw. Alan Bowman for Oklahoma State, same thing. He was awful versus Utah this past week, so both those teams, you know, will obviously look to control the line of scrimmage, run the football, kind of lean on their defense, play field position. Both teams are well coached. And it's a huge game for both teams, right? I mean, you kind of figured at the beginning of the year, the Big 12 championship would probably be Utah and then a combination of one of these two teams. This is a massive, massive game with both of them losing last week, already losing a game in conference play. Would lean towards Oklahoma State plus the points. Obviously, I mean, Manhattan's a really tough place to play, really tough place to win. I think Kansas State squeaks out a close one, but I'll take those points with the Cowboys.
It's one of the few top 25 matchups in college football this weekend. Of course, the premier one, Georgia, Alabama. You know, of course, with Nick Saban now out, not with Alabama anymore. I think that really, obviously, Kalen DeBoer is establishing his own culture down there with the Crimson Tide. But Kirby Smart now becomes kind of the class of the SEC. Of course, Texas probably wants to stake their claim to that as well. But Georgia, number two in the country, Alabama, number four in the country. What do you like in that one?
It's going to be a heck of a game, guys. I'd love to come on here and tell you, like, I have a definitive play for who I like, but I'm really making a case for both sides. You know, it feels like for the first time in a long, long time, Georgia can kind of play that, like, underdog role, even though they're favored. It feels like a lot of people like Bama to win the game. Both teams are coming off a bye, which makes it awesome. The fact that Kirby gets 2 weeks to prepare, DeBoer gets 2 weeks to prepare. I think what's really interesting about this matchup, you guys, is Kirby Smart and Nick Saban faced off six times against each other, and all six of those matchups, the final score went over 49 points. And right now we're looking at a total at 49.5. Those were obviously two defensive coaches that knew each other extremely well. And now we're getting two coaches that have never squared off against each other. You know, DeBoer's never played against Kirby, even when he was an OC at Indiana, head coach, whatever it may be. They've never gone up against each other. The one kind of thing that we maybe have to compare is obviously DeBoer's matchups going up against Dan Lanning, who came from Georgia with Kirby Smart when he was his defensive coordinator. And, I mean, DeBoer, he dominated those matchups, and his teams put up points. So Georgia's skill weapons, I'm very concerned about. You know, they don't have a Brock Bowers this year or a Ladd McConkie, and their offense just isn't as explosive as we're used to them being. Obviously, they got a great quarterback in Carson Beck. I would give the advantage to Bama, though, on offense. Defensively, Georgia hasn't given up a touchdown this year on defense. And looking at what Clemson's been doing to people recently, that looks more and more impressive. So it's a tough game to really handicap both side and total. If you had to make me pick it, I'd probably take Bama. But guys, this just might be one of those games to bet live. You know, we talk about that a lot on the show with spreads that are this tight. Don't feel like you have to make a pick right off the bat. You know, if Bama goes down the field and scores 7-0, you might get like a +3 with Georgia. And then I think that'd be a great bet, or vice versa. You could get a +3.5 with Bama and just wait it out. But if you had to make me pick the game, I'd probably take the Tide.
What we do, PJ, with Kansas? They keep one-upping themselves in blowing games late. They've clearly, to me anyway, been the better team in all of these losses they've had now in a row. All three of them, they've been the better team, but they can't win the game. So they get TCU, they're back home, they're two-point favorites. When you see things like that where teams are not living up to their expectations, do you feel like that's an opportunity, or is it the opposite? Like, stop ignoring what's staring you in the face. This team doesn't know how to win games. I don't know how to bet them.
So it's funny, Jacob, you asked that, you phrase it that way, because I kind of view Kansas right now the same way that I'm viewing the Ravens, where I kind of want to just bet them in the first half, but I don't want to trust them for all four quarters. You know what I mean? And yep. I think that's the way to do it with Kansas again this week. Like, you don't want to trust them the first 60 minutes. But like you said, I mean, they've suffered some tough losses this year. UNLV, West Virginia, Illinois. They just haven't been able to close these games out. So I'll just take them in the first half, because obviously they want to get it right. They want to win these games. And I trust their coaching staff to have a good game plan early. They're at home. So I just take them in the first half on the money line at -130. And then I just get out, you know, and don't sweat it for the rest of the way. And that's my thought process with the Ravens and the Bills, one of the marquee games in the NFL, where Lamar's great in the first half. Harbaugh's great straight up in primetime games at home. But we just know the Ravens collapsed in the fourth quarter. Kansas has kind of been the same way. So with teams like that, that have good coaching staffs, play well for a majority of the game, should be winning these games and covering these spreads, I think first half's a great angle for Kansas and for the Ravens this week as well.
Are you at a point now in the college football season, PJ, where, you know, now through 4 weeks, you know enough, or at least you feel like you know enough about teams that you can maybe look ahead a little bit and look at some things in the future? Are there futures bets now with 4 weeks in that maybe are a little bit more solidified, or things you feel comfortable with, or is it still too early?
Yeah, I definitely think there are. I think for the Heisman too, and Tommy, it's great that you bring this up. You know, everybody's going to be just wanting to bet the Bama-Georgia game. Another way that you can attack that is in the Heisman market, right? Jalen Milroe right now, +800 to win the Heisman. Carson Beck is 16-1. So whatever team that people like to win that game this week, if you think that the quarterback, whether it's going to be Milroe or Beck, has a really good game and his team's going to win, I mean, guys, we might see those odds cut in half, whether it's Beck go all the way down to plus 800, 900, or Milroe might become the new favorite at plus 400, because obviously these are the kind of games where you win the Heisman Trophy, right? We talk about those Heisman moments and beating the best of the best. So, yeah, the Heisman market's certainly something I'm keeping my eye on. And some of these conference markets, you know, is something that I'm keeping my eye on too. Like the ACC at this point looks like it's going to just kind of be a two horse race between Miami and Clemson. Clemson's like plus 350. And even though Miami's going to be favored in that ACC title game, Clemson is not going to be plus 350 on the money line. So you can start thinking about those kind of things where maybe you take a shot on a team in the conference market, not necessarily because you think they're going to win, but because you think you're going to get much better value than when that team is playing in that championship game, and they will not be that price when they play on the money line.
Before we switch to the NFL, PJ, you know, some of us are suckers for parlays, and we've got some bonuses and boosters to get filled out. So give us just a couple of your favorite college football plays that we haven't talked about this weekend.
So, yeah, one of the marquee games I really do like this week, guys, is going to be Penn State minus the 17.5 against Illinois. Top 20 matchup. Penn State's laying a bunch of points. Illinois's already won two games this season as outright underdogs. Obviously, the Kansas game. They beat Nebraska last week as well. So I think this is just one of those classic cases where the line's high for a reason, right? Like, people are going to see number 9 versus number 20, and number 20 is catching 17.5 points. And that's why Illinois is one of the most public bets this week, because they're a top 20 team and they're catching all those points. I just don't know how they score in this game. The reason Illinois has been successful this season is because they've been able to muck it up, and they've been able to lean on their defense, and they've been able to win the turnover battle. If they fall behind to Penn State, guys, I just don't think they're going to have the firepower to come back and cover this spread. So that game really feels like 30-3 to me, somewhere in that neighborhood. Those are the kind of games where Penn State tends to roll too. Like, you don't want to bet Franklin against the Ohio States, the Michigan, the top tier teams, but you want to bet him against kind of those middle teams in the Big Ten. So I like Penn State a lot. I also like Auburn. I mean, it's a really ugly bet against Oklahoma this week. I view those teams the exact same. Both teams are good on defense. They're getting horrendous quarterback play right now. The difference is that Auburn's at home, and Oklahoma is going to be starting Michael Hawkins this week, who's a true freshman quarterback, has to go on the road in a difficult environment against an Auburn team that needs a win in the worst way, right? I mean, if they drop this game, they're 2-3, and they still got to play Bama. They still got to play Georgia. You know, I mean, they still got to play some really tough teams. So that's a must-win game for Auburn. And the fact that Oklahoma is starting a true freshman, I'll roll with the Tigers +2.5, and I like Penn State as well.
Shifting to the NFL, PJ, I got to tell you, I'm pretty angry at the spread right now for the Chiefs and Chargers game. Kansas City headed to the West Coast to take on the Chargers, and it's all over the place as far as the Chargers are concerned. Derwin James suspended out for the game. They're banged up. Justin Herbert has about 17 different injuries that he's dealing with right now. It's just, it's a classic situation of Kansas City playing the Chargers, because the Chargers seem like they're always injured when these two teams match up. The spread right now is at a touchdown. I mean, I'm getting it right around 7 right now, and I'm angry at that, because Kansas City has not been good at covering the number this entire season. But I don't know what to do, considering the Chargers are so banged up, and they're going to be, you know, without several different players. Is there an angle on this game that you like?
Yeah, I actually like the Chargers plus the points this week, guys. I think Kansas City wins. This game just, for me, feels very similar to what San Francisco and the Rams were last week, right? Where you got a divisional game. The Niners are big favorites. They're on the road at SoFi, ironically enough. And all the Chargers really have is their quarterback, like the Rams do. It looks like more and more that Herbert's going to play in this game. They're without Derwin James, as you mentioned, Tommy. They're not going to have their two top tackles in Alt and in Rashawn Slater as well. So this is one of those games where you kind of look at it on the surface, right? And you're like, how are the Chargers going to keep this game close? We know how incredible these big underdogs have been in the NFL so far this season, right? Not only are they covering, they're winning outright. I don't think the Chargers win outright, but as you guys know, Chiefs-Chargers games tend to be close, right? It's not like the Chiefs, even though Mahomes dominates them, it's not like he usually blows them out. These games are usually one possession, so I'll take the Chargers to keep it close. I like them plus 7. I also love Travis Kelce over receiving yards in this game, guys, at 46.5. I think we're all waiting for the breakout Kelce game, and he dominates the Chargers. Now, obviously, that's been going up against Brandon Staley defenses, and you're wondering, you know, against Harbaugh and Jesse Minter, kind of what they scheme up. But Derwin James being out is really going to be big at going up against Kelce. So I like Kelce over receiving yards. I like the Chargers plus 7 as well.
On that same game, I just think it's interesting because we haven't been used to it. We've got a total under 40 in a Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Now, they've been a good defense. But a total under 40 in a Chiefs game? The world is upside down in the NFL.
It's crazy, right? I mean, and a big part of it, I think, is because we're so used to Kansas City being great in the red zone and scoring touchdowns. And obviously, a big part of that is Kelce, and he hasn't been featured much this season, and he hasn't scored. But yeah, I mean, you're right. Like 39.5, I would think the over would probably be the play in that game. I do think the Chargers are going to be able to score, you know, not having their two top tackles. They're ranked 30th in football and passing yardage, but they're going to run the football. They're going to do what they do. I still think the Chiefs are going to put up points. So it is a low total. I would still go over that, though, thinking that the Chargers will, especially because I like the Chargers to cover the spread. You know, if people are out there with me and thinking the Chargers are going to score, you would think they're going to have to keep up with Kansas City a little bit. So do like the over, and obviously Chargers plus the points, as I've been saying.
I know you're the expert, so I want to throw this out at you and see if you agree with me, if you think I'm on the right track here. One of my favorite bets of the entire weekend in the NFL is the Bengals-Panthers game, the over, because Andy Dalton came in last week, and it was like all of a sudden the offense was unlocked for Carolina. On the flip side with Cincinnati, you've got Ja'Marr Chase looking like he's kicking things into gear. T. Higgins has returned a little bit. And so I really, really like that over. Also, Cincinnati's defense last week was atrocious. That's probably my favorite bet. That over-under is at 47. I love the over.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? The way that Cincinnati's defense has looked, and then the way that Carolina obviously looked with Dalton. Guys, it's so funny coming into the season. A lot of people, myself included, thought Carolina would be much improved this year because of Canales' track record with kind of turning around quarterbacks, right? And he thought he would do that with Bryce Young. Maybe he's just going to do that with Andy Dalton, right? Like Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield, like Dalton kind of fixed the mold of kind of a veteran quarterback that Canales can turn around. He obviously looked great last week. I didn't touch the total, Tommy. I wouldn't bet the under. It would only be over or pass for me. I just worry, you know, the Panthers are coming off a great offensive performance. The Bengals are coming off a terrible defensive performance like that. The over just almost feels like too easy to me. Maybe it is. That might just be one of those games where the teams are moving the ball back and forth and, you know, they're settling for a bunch of field goals and the game goes under. So I wouldn't bet the under. It would only be the over for me. But that total is going to be a pass.
All right. Before we let you go, PJ, kind of the same thing. We ask you about specific games, but give us your favorite handful of NFL bets for Sunday.
So, yeah, I told you guys I like the Chargers plus 7. Really like that one. I like the Ravens quite a bit in the first half, minus a half. We were talking about that game as well. I think they get off to a hot start against the Bills. Another game I really like this week, guys, is Arizona, minus 3.5 against Washington. I mean, how can you not fade the Commanders this week, right? Off of that huge win on Monday night, short week, going on the road against Arizona. Everybody's talking about how great Jaden Daniels is and how incredible he played, and as they should be. He was spectacular in that game, but that Commanders defense still really worries me, right? Like, Burrow and the Bengals didn't punt in that game. They were putting up a ton of numbers. So Arizona and Kyler Murray have been really good on offense this year. I think they're going to be able to put up numbers. Let's keep in mind, too, right? Arizona faces Kyler Murray every day in practice, so they should be able to handle a mobile quarterback where Cincinnati had no answers for it last week against Washington. Just one of those cases, guys, where I'm fading a team off a big, big win, right? We did that last week. Tampa was coming off that big win against Detroit. They turn around, get smashed. smashed by Denver. The Raiders were coming off that big win against Baltimore. They turn around, get smashed by Carolina. Like, this is why I talk about spots so much in the NFL, because it really is a roller coaster with these teams. You know, like, not all wins are the same. Not all spots are the same. I just think this is a good one for Arizona. They're coming off a tough loss. They're back at home. Washington short week off of a huge win. I'll take Arizona -3.5.
All right, PJ, we appreciate it. Good luck with the bets this weekend. Thanks for moving around with us, and we'll talk again next week.
Always look forward to it, guys. Good luck. See you next week.
That's the host of Send It In, an Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, PJ Glasser. Insider calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. We're going to come back. We're going to make some more picks. We'll put it on the line here. We'll bring in Brandon Zinner, TJ Cleland, Paul Savage. Here we go. That's when we return. Jad's got receipts, too. I'm not sure we want them, but he's got them.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH. This is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, sports bettors, ready for some picks destined to fail? It's time to hear what the Sports Daily staff thinks of the weekend games.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is the whole gang here. Brandon Zinner will send us his picks in. But, boys, we've got some work to do. Jad, what's the damage on this? What are we looking at here?
So, let me pull up Paul's stats really quick, and give me one second on that.
Okay, we got Brandon back in, and I put a Vikings game in just for Brandon this week. So we've got that out there for you. We're going to make three college picks. We're going to make three NFL picks. There's our five box, by the way. Thanks, everybody, for jumping on with us, watching this experiment. And, well, it's been a disaster for most of us. Let's just put it that way. These picks have been brutal, not just for us. I mean, this has been a really, really tough year for most. So we'll have a couple of picks. We'll pick Kansas. We'll pick Kansas State. We'll pick the Chiefs, and then we'll mix it in to get to six total picks. To get ourselves into this thing, and we've got some good ones, and let's get it started here. If you want to hit the music, Jad, with K-State, they play the national noon, big noon, whatever you want to call it, but it's an 11 a.m. local kick. We're going to put it at a 5-point favorite. I've seen it bounce around. But that's the number we're going to use. We're going to use 5 points here. K-State, Oklahoma State, K-State at home. Paul, I'm sure you're in the lead, so I'm going to let you go first here. What do you think of this one?
Well, you know something? This is an interesting game. I just wasn't for KSU to beat my expectations. I think a lot of us
would. All right, we're going to get Paul's microphone figured out here. We're going to skip.
Okay, give it a try now, Paul.
Okay, test one. We're ready to go.
All right, Paul.
Sorry about that, Bill. All right, so here's the thing.
Here's what I think about KSU and Oklahoma State. One of the things that I look at is has K-State, really met our expectations? For me, I would say no. Tommy, for you, maybe have they? Or maybe not.
I think last week was an anomaly, but yeah, okay. Overall, yeah, they have.
Okay. All right. Well, here's the thing. You know, last week I picked KSU and I picked Brigham Young. And I did it with a method that I think worked really well. So I'm going to go to the question, how many Heisman winners has Oklahoma State had? That would be one. How many Heisman winners does K-State have? And that would be zero. Tommy, don't look so grim.
Hey, look.
The last time that put me on an island, guess what, buddy? I'd got you on that one, didn't I? So I'm going to go with Oklahoma State.
You can't chicken your way into an island on this one. You're picking first. TJ, what do you think? TJ's muted. Brandon, you're muted as well. There we go. Now we're good.
We're in the circle, and everybody's going to be muted to start their picks.
Yeah, I love that.
I'm going to go with K-State. I know we talked yesterday, Jacob, about what they did against BYU. Really, the first couple of drives, they were a significantly better football team, and they really controlled the entire tempo of the game. And then they had a fumble, and it was a stupid score, and then it felt like it was kind of panic mode. And then everything hit the fan at once, and it was terrible from then on. So I'm just going to revert back and just pay attention to the first two drives and ignore the rest of the football game that we saw last week, and I'll pick K-State to cover this one.
Brandon, I think it was one of the weirder games I've ever seen. I'm totally willing to wash Oklahoma. I mean BYU away, but is K-State 5 points better than Oklahoma State?
That I don't think so. I think we've kind of seen the struggles of this K-State offense, and I don't know how much optimism there is kind of going forward, especially just in a tough spot against a really good Oklahoma State team. If it was four, I'd probably lean towards K-State, but it's five. I'm going to take Oklahoma State. I think we should see a 21-17 kind of game, and that gets me a cover. So, yeah, give me the Pokes.
Tommy, where are you at with this one?
Well, first off, I'm really jealous of the life that Brandon Zinner is leading, getting to play golf basically every Friday when he comes on this program. It's impressive. I'm jealous of that. This particular game, I mentioned it yesterday, that I don't have major concerns about Kansas State, because last week I think was an anomaly. That was the word I used a couple of minutes ago. It was an anomaly. There were, you know, just weird things that happened in general. The last minute or so of the first half where things really snowballed for the Wildcats. I know the conversation, Jacob, between you and I yesterday was, should we have concerns about Avery Johnson? I'm not willing yet to have concerns. If this goes into a second week, then I can have a conversation. But I'm not there yet because of that. I'm going to take Kansas State. I'm going to lay the points.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, it's hard. Do you take more from BYU or do you take more from Arizona? I that's the problem for me with K-State. We've seen both of these now, and where do they land in it? I'm concerned about the youth of K-State and all the experience over there on Oklahoma State's side. I can't believe this number's as big as it is. The money's been flooding to Oklahoma State. I suppose I'll just take K-State at home. You know, it's a score. They can get there. I am surprised by the number, though. I thought this was going to be a field goal kind of a game. But I'm going to reluctantly do it and think there's more about K-State in the Arizona game than there is in the BYU game. All right, TCU at KU. KU is a 2-point home favorite. Tommy, we'll let you start this one. Fool me once, you know, shame on me. Fool me nine times, I guess. Like, I don't know, you know, how the saying goes. What are you doing with this one?
Yeah, I mean, we're getting into potentially fool me four times in a row scenario here for the Jayhawks. The number is low enough that I feel comfortable laying the points with the Jayhawks. Now, I didn't take Kansas last week. I took West Virginia at home, and that was one of the two games I won last week. But I do think that the uproar has gotten to a fever pitch a little bit with the Jayhawks, and the fact that in all three of these games that they've lost back to back to back, they had the win expectancy percentage in the fourth quarter in all three of them was over 80% at one point in all three games. They were better. They should have won all three of them, and the fact that they went 0-3 is just ridiculous. So knowing that, I do think you've got to snap out of that at some point. I think this will be the week to do it. TCU is not as great as we've seen in years past. I'll take the Jayhawks, and I'll lay the points.
I'm going to fall on this sword for you, KU fans, and get you a slump buster because I've picked KU every week. I'm just going to pick TCU to hopefully snap them out of this and get the old reverse jinx going. So I'm going to take TCU for no other reason than to help out KU fans and get them back on the right track. Brandon, what do you think of this game?
No, it's no analysis at all. Just KU. You got to win. You got to win one. So
yeah, especially at home. TJ?
I'm going with KU. I think that if they just don't have the giant collapse they have in the fourth quarter last game, this spread is probably looking at like 9 points or something, because TCU just got embarrassed by SMU. And this is just kind of the lines, because they know everybody's watching these KU games and freaking out and trying to put some money towards TCU. So I think that's why it's such a tight game. I'm going to just go on the law of averages that something has to give for KU, and this could be the one they can get it done.
Paul, what do you think about this one?
Boys. Let me ask you a question. What the heck makes you think something has changed this week? Why is it this week somebody has waved a magic wand and now KU's good? TCU's not bad. They're certainly not going to win the conference, but they've got a good quarterback. They've got some veteran receivers. What in the world are you guys thinking? Tommy, what makes you think KU's going to turn the corner this week? Is there something, or are you just saying, well, this has got to be the week?
they're a better team than what they've shown on paper. Are you sure? Yeah. All of the metrics tell you that. It's just a matter they haven't been able to close it out. And I think that this would be a week that if they're going to do that, it would be this week.
All right. Well, I got an answer from Tommy. And Tommy, by the way, good answer. That wasn't bad. That was not bad at all. I've taken TCU. This might be, for me, the easiest pick of the week. Until I see KU come and play like we think they're capable of playing, like the team that could be competing for a Big 12 championship like we think they could be, until I see that, boys, I can't hop on your bandwagon. I'm joining Jacob. By the way, Jacob, I know yours was a pity pick, a pity because you feel sorry for
it. That's a good way to put it.
That's a good way of doing it. But I'm going with it because I know no reason to think that KU is going to, you know, switch on and play better. I'm going to go ahead and take TCU. This is the easiest pick of the week, boys.
My actual money, I like the under. Again, it's at 60. And I love PJ Glasser's idea of just taking KU on the money line in the first half. I think that's pretty savvy there. All right, let's get our last college football game. Georgia, Bama. Bama's a 1-point dog at home. That's enough reason for me to take Bama. Give me the point. It's a home game. I think this is a tricky one. I won't actually put any money on this game. I probably will because there'll be bonuses for it. So I'll do it. But I'm going to take Bama. I like their quarterback. I like both quarterbacks. But I think Bama's quarterback's good enough at home to get enough done in this game to get the win. And I'll take the point just because I can get it. Tommy?
This is an opportunity for Kirby Smart. And he's done a lot at Georgia. Obviously, he's won national titles at Georgia. But this is an opportunity for him to plant his flag as the new Nick Saban in the SEC, to be the guy that is going to have the longevity and the overall long-term success at Georgia like we saw from Saban for however many years, two decades at Alabama. And this is that opportunity for him to stake that claim. I'm going to take Georgia on the road in Alabama. Give me the Bulldogs. I think that they're just, from top to bottom, probably a better team overall. It's going to be a fun game. I love Carson Beck in this matchup. I'm going to take Georgia to win.
Brandon, where do you stand with college football's game of the year so far?
Well, I'm with everybody's favorite Tide fan, Braxton Jones, right now. And to save any harm, I'm going to go ahead and take Alabama at home with points.
Roll Tide.
Yeah, get that. Tell Braxton we said what's up. TJ, what do you think?
I'm going to go with the Tide as well. I think that they're awesome. I know a couple weeks ago my favorite play was Wisconsin to cover plus 21 against Alabama. I think they lost by 100. So learned a lot about Alabama that day, and they are a wagon of a team, and it's in Tuscaloosa. There's no shot they're going to lose in Tuscaloosa.
They kind of had their scare there. Was it against South Florida or whatever when they came back in the fourth quarter and stomped them after they were down? Paul, what do you think of these two teams that – you know, whether you rank them one and two, they certainly appear to be two of the top five.
I don't know, Jacob. I do not know either team could win this game. I'll tell you, now, Bama, I believe, has an advantage because it's at home. But, man, guys, these are two really good football teams. I think we could safely say I wouldn't put it past saying that one of these two teams is going to win a national championship, and I think either one of them could. But with that being said, when I see the entire brain trust of KWCH, Jacob, Brandon, TJ, when I see all three of you guys on the line for Bama, you know what it makes me do? Take Georgia. I'm taking Georgia, boys. I'm going with Tommy.
You're not going to give me an island?
Oh, gosh.
Come on, Paul. No,
by the way, it's fine. By the way, Texas is better than both of these teams.
Tennessee might be. I don't know about Texas.
That flag right now.
I don't know how you know that about Texas, but anyway, I'm going to say. I'm changing. Hold on. I haven't laid my cards down yet. I'm still raising. Okay, Tommy, I have a lot of respect for you.
Well, I mean,
you're a good friend of mine.
I'm going to twist your arm into doing something you don't want to do.
No, I'll tell you what, Tommy. This is for you. Island for Georgia. Okay. I'm taking Bama.
There you go. Always an adventure here. Okay, so let's go to the NFL here, and we've got Minnesota and we've got Green Bay. I know Brandon's been itching to get the Vikings in on his picks here. So Brandon, you get to start us off. You're going to get 2.5 points with your Vikes. Now Jordan Love appears like he will play in this game. That's why that line's where it is. this one of the best games, if not the best game of the NFL weekend. You trusting your heart here?
I'm trusting my heart and I'm trusting my brain, and both of that says the Vikings this week. They've shown everything with, especially Jordan Love's knee and the Flores defense, how they've gotten after the passers in the NFL so far. I think they're going to be able to get after Jordan Love, try to make him run. We'll see how comfortable he is. Yeah, give me the Vikings and every one of the points this week.
TJ, which side of this you taking?
I've watched enough football with Brandon to know that we don't bet against Sam Darnold. The dude is the best quarterback in the NFL so far this season. That's probably not true, but I've hung out with Brandon enough to believe that. So I'm going to go with the Vikings in this one, too.
Paul, Vikings, Packers, this is a tough one.
Oh, I don't know if it's that tough or not. You know, there's been all kinds of things going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. And, you know, the one thing about when things go on with pro football teams, that's what we call a distraction. I think there's been a lot of distractions with injuries and that kind of thing. And you guys are right. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be surprised. I shouldn't say this. I wouldn't be surprised to see the Minnesota Vikings in the finals for their conference championship. I'm not saying they're going to win a Super Bowl or anything, but they're a good football team. Guys, I hate to do this, but I'm going to join my two partners at KWCH, and I'm taking the Vikings. I think this is an easy pick.
Tommy, you agree?
Look, it's been incredible what Sam Darnold has been able to do with the Vikings through a couple of weeks. And obviously, there's a tremendous, I love that, by the way, with Brandon in the background. There's a tremendous amount of talent that we all know that Darnold has around him with Minnesota. I've been a Packers believer, though, from the start of this season. And I know that, obviously, Jordan Love got injured. And, you know, but Malik Willis, even if Love doesn't go, Malik Willis kind of had his little bit of a revenge game, you know, a week ago. So I don't know. This is a toss-up for me. It's tough. Just knowing that the three guys before me have taken Minnesota, I have to take Green Bay. I'll take Green Bay. That's my plan. It might be the wrong choice, but I'm going to stick to it.
Yeah, the problem for me with the Packers is, you know, they've won their last two. They haven't played anybody. And so I still don't know how much of a belief. I mean, I'm a believer in Jordan Love and the offense. I don't know if I'm a believer in their defense. I just don't know. We know what we've got in Minnesota. We know Justin Jefferson's there. We know Sam Darnold's cooking. We know it's an Aaron Jones revenge game, by the way. And I was just in Minnesota in Viking country. Just across the border, switching back and forth, drinking Spotted Cow beer, watching my son at a Vikings bar get so hype. All that boy wants to do is scream, and that's all he did, taking high fives from all the Midwestern charm, you know, Viking fans. So I got to take the Vikings in this one. I can't turn my back on that. You know, it was too good a time there at the Vikings bar. So I'll roll with them for a week. Sam Darnold will come crashing down to earth, I think, at some point. Doesn't have to be this week, though. I'll take the Vikings. Is that all of us? Did we all get that one?
That's back
let's
to back
go Philadelphia.
I love it.
Let's go Philadelphia, Tampa, +1.5. I'll start us here. Guys, I love the Bucs getting 1.5 at home. I'm not an Eagle non-believer like Tommy is. I actually think the Eagles are good. But they probably don't have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith in this game. And their secondary historically has been a problem, and we know the Bucs can chuck it around. I love getting some points at home for the Buccaneers. It's one of my favorite bets of the week. I'll take Tampa, and I'll take the 1.5. Brandon?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think a good bounce back spot for Tampa. I like what Philly has been able to do over the last couple of weeks. I think they're really starting to settle in. But just Tampa at home with the points. We see the underdogs covering a lot. Give me the Bucks.
TJ, is Saquon Barkley enough to cover that number? Because that may be what it is in Philly this week.
I don't think it is, for basically the same reason that you said. If Devonta Smith's not going to play, and it seems like he's probably not going to, and AJ Brown's not going to be out there, all of their wideout weapons aren't going to be there and all going to rely on Saquon Barkley. I don't think that's enough to beat a team at home when they're getting points. I'm going to take the Bucks.
Paul?
Well, you got – I'm looking at Tommy right now to see what I think he will do. And I'm looking at him. I'm kind of looking at him. He's giving me that I don't know what I'm going to do. You know something? I'm going to go ahead and take Philly because I predict Island, and this isn't that bad an Island. You know, it's not like Philadelphia doesn't pay their players. There'll be some guys that can play. I'm gonna go ahead and take the Philadelphia Eagles. Tommy, that's for you. I'm taking the Eagles.
Yeah, it's not the UNLV coaching staff. They'll get their players paid. That's right, Paul. All right, Tommy.
I got that. I see what you mean.
No island here, so now you can make a real pick. What do you think of this one?
Yeah, it's interesting because I have yet to hear, and maybe the NFL, and they don't know at this point, will the hurricane that's going through Florida impact this game at all? Because it's in Tampa Bay.
I don't think so.
You know, I think it probably...
Not, if it's not going to impact the Braves games tonight, I think the weather will be clear this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that I'm sort of keeping my eye on that might be a little bit of an unknown. I don't think there's been any kind of definitive answer on that one way or the other. Here's my thought with, I'm not a Philadelphia believer, as we all know, and it's not that they don't, I don't think that they're a good team. I think that they've got a tremendous amount of talent. I just can't stand Nick Sirianni. I think he's a terrible coach, and I think that he has had a terrible time rallying this team together, going all the way back to last season into this year. They've underperformed. Thank goodness for Saquon Barkley. It's a good thing he joined that team because they would be in really bad shape
if Saquon Barkley wasn't on that roster.
I mean, I listen, I hate the Eagles more than anybody in this room. I can promise you that as a Cowboys fan. But I'll also tell you that they've got wins over the Packers and over the Saints this year. So,
did you watch the Saints game last week?
I watched them win.
They won the game, but they didn't look good at all. Neither did the Saints, for that matter. But it was an ugly game.
Saints without AJ Brown. I'm just saying. I hate the Eagles. Don't get me wrong. I have no love lost, but they got two wins against two good teams.
I think you're missing the point where I say, yeah, they are a talented team. Their coach brings them down a rung in my book. I don't think they would, I think, have more wins if there was somebody else that was coaching that team. That being said, though, I do think that in this particular matchup, I'm going to take the Eagles in this matchup over the Bucs. I like Baker Mayfield. I like what the Bucs have done. But really, I'm making a pick solely based on Saquon Barkley. He's stepped up big in the last couple of weeks. I think he'll do the same thing. I'll take the Eagles.
It'll be interesting. Tampa's going to challenge those young corners. I'm pretty intrigued by that game. All right, Kansas City and the Chargers. We'll wrap with the Chiefs game here. TJ, you start us on this one because this one's tricky to me.
Sticking with the anecdotal here, at my desk at work, as you know, Jacob, I sit next to Brandon, who's a Vikings fan, and next to Rachel Howland, who's a Chargers fan, and our insider Chargers fan has let me know that the entire team is hurt, and he's not lying. Everybody is going to be hurt for this game, it feels like. What's the line that we're going with on this?
Seven. We're going with seven.
By a touchdown. I know the Chiefs are chronic non-coverers, but I just can't see a world unless they just really mess around in this one and let the Chargers hang in that they don't win by a touchdown. I'm going to go with the heart again and bet with the Chiefs to cover a touchdown.
Brandon is golfing, so Paul, you go next. What do you think on this Chiefs game?
Well, you're right. This game is going to be probably in the 14 to 17 point range. I know that sounds nuts. I know that sounds crazy. This is the NFL. But I sure like the Kansas City Chiefs in this game. You do have a Chargers team that's a little bit under the weather. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chiefs. I think this is a fairly easy pick, and I'm predicting a complete wipeout for Kansas City between the five of us pickers.
All right, so we've got Chiefs and we've got Chiefs. Tommy, you going to keep that trend going?
I hate this game. I hate this spread. The fact that it's at 7, 6.5, I'd still probably hate it, but I wouldn't hate it as much than I do right now at 7. The Chiefs, I think, you know, we all know they've had a pretty difficult time covering the number through the first couple of weeks of the season. Everything in me is screaming that because of the Chargers being super banged up and Derwin James being suspended and all of that, that this is an opportunity for Kansas City to flex a bit and to be able to cover that number. Man, it's just hard for me to really commit to that. So knowing that, I think the Chiefs win. I'm going to take the Chargers, though. Whoa. I'll take the 7 points. I think the Chiefs win by 3 or 4, and they ultimately get out of there, but that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I'm actually with you. I think it's a Chiefs win within the number. Yeah. 7 is a lot of points on the road. Like 7 on the road is kind of ridiculous.
Against Harbaugh, that's a lot.
It looks like Herbert will play. From all I know, the running backs are still healthy, and J.K. Dobbins is there. I think both of these teams want to have the ball on the ground as much as they can. it feels like a really ugly game to me. And in an ugly game with Harbaugh there on the road and a touchdown, I'm not going to lay those points. I do think the Chiefs win within the number, though, but I'm going to take the 7 points. Brandon?
I think the Chiefs just finally have a – I mean, we've said it with every single one of the teams every single week, so it's got to happen at one point. I think the Chiefs come in, they have a blowout. Patrick Mahomes has never lost on the road against the Chargers. Now, I know we're not picking them to win. We're picking them to cover the spread, but just going out on a limb here. I don't have any faith in it, but why not?
Yeah, look, that line is – Vegas knows what it's doing. That's a pretty brutal line, and it's a really brutal line if Herbert plays. And the Chiefs-Chargers games have been a little wacky. All right, so, Tommy, did you find those receipts there? Where do things stand?
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Paul has extended his lead again, which is just ridiculous. It's one of the most ridiculous things. He's got a record of 16-7. He's 9 games over 500. And the rest of us are all under 500.
And you make fun of my Heisman just because of the Heisman deal.
It's ridiculous.
I saw you nod over there and shake your head. I saw that.
I've called you Rain Man before, Paul. I'm going to call you Rain Man again. That's what this is. TJ, you and I are both one game under 500 at 11-12. Jacob, you're at 9-14, 5 games under 500. Brandon is 7-16, coming in last right there. So everybody's got some ground to make up on, Paul. Hopefully this week will be the week that we do that.
I don't even know. I don't even know what to say.
That means that I should actually be betting my picks because my bank account does not signify that I'm almost 500.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was so close to making so much money last night. Like, I'm talking a couple of yards one way. A couple of yards and an Aubrey make, and last night would have been very fruitful. And that is why we love this game and why we do it, because it keeps us on our toes. All right, TJ's going to stick around. We're going to come back here on Sports Daily. We're going to talk a little high school football as we get you ready for a big Catch at Kansas Friday here again. Want to say thank you to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every morning here at KFH on the way out. When we return, Catch at Kansas Friday. TJ has a preview next. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Friday, a Catch at Kansas Friday. Get you all ready on the Catch at Kansas app and at catchatkansas.com as we take a look. What are we in here? Week 4 of the high school football season. TJ, Brandon, Rachel, and gang have had you covered all season long. TJ, as we look ahead to this week 4, what's the game of the week there at Catch at Kansas, and what are we looking most forward to?
Game of the week is a big one. We got Wichita Collegiate traveling out to Andale tonight. Big 3A rivalry out there in Andale country. So really excited for that one.
That's the one I was going to ask. That's been a fun game, but it's been one that Andale has dominated. So is this Collegiate more than a fun game? Do they have a real chance this year?
Yeah, so just talking about this one, I've been digging up some research, getting everything ready for our coverage tonight. I'm not sure. I didn't know this until yesterday. Honestly, I saw a stat and dug it up and talked to Dylan Schmidt about it, that Andale lost the streak of the longest winning streak in the country, but they still have a win streak at home dating back to 2012, even before Dylan Schmidt was the coach there. They have not lost a home game in 12 years. The last team to beat them in Andale was Collegiate back in 2012. So a little bit of history there, but I think it's going to be a really fun one. You know, Andale got tested by Wellington in week 2. I think there was a combined like 110 points or something ridiculous like that. It was like 60-50 touchdown game there. Collegiate narrowly beat Wellington as well. So that's kind of your litmus test of where this one stands. I think Collegiate's a really good team. Last year, they gave Andale a little bit of a run. It was like a 2-3 score game still. But Collegiate didn't have all of their stars out there. This time, everybody's healthy. They got a really good running back in Jaden Parker, who's probably going to be playing Division I football somewhere. He's back this year. Collegiate team is going to be really good, but Andale at home is a different beast, as we know. But I think it'll be a great one tonight.
Looking at the City League, Capen playing Northwest tonight, and you know that's just a heavyweight bout right there. And especially knowing the sights that Capen has set for their future, but then also knowing how big of a juggernaut Northwest has always been. That's a game I know that folks around the city are really anxiously awaiting. Do you get any sense one way or the other about, you know, sort of where things are leaning?
Yeah, Capen was a team that we really didn't know who they were going to be this year. They graduated so many guys that I always bring up Amari Elias was their entire offense, that running back. They graduate him, and we didn't know how good they were really going to be. Last week, they come out and beat East in a game that lasted 2 days because of the weather. So kind of showed who they were going to be, and a team that can compete towards the top of the City League like they do every single year. So getting that one, I know Northwest got the job done against East. So this could very well be the City League championship that we get in week four, depending how the rest of the season plays out. So Capen's proved that they can hang with anybody, but Northwest, they've got an insane schedule every single week. They just played Junction City last week and pulled off like a third, fourth quarter comeback. So they're a great team. I think Northwest has got more talent than Capen, but we know what Capen does well, and they're going to do it well.
Well, it's probably more than might be the City League championship. It is going to be the City League championship. Both teams are good, and if I could just add to it, I'm the one guy sitting on this little council right here that's played both of them, and we lost to both of them. We lost to one 13-0. We lost the other in triple overtime. So that should be us involved in this, but it's not. That's just the way it goes. I think that this particular game is going to be basically who controls the line of scrimmage. And both of them are capable of controlling the line of scrimmage. Now, if it's TJ, if I was to say to you, if both teams are fairly equal on the line of scrimmage, just based upon athleticism alone at the skill positions, don't you maybe have to kind of give the advantage maybe to Northwest? Not a big advantage, but a slight advantage to Northwest. And I think if I had to pick, I might give it to them reluctantly. I'm trying to be fair and honest in this. But listen, Capen wins this game, I'm not going to be surprised either.
Yeah, Northwest, I say it every week, it feels like, that they've probably got the most Division I talent on a team. East is right there with them, but Northwest has got so many guys who are going to play Power 5 football on both sides of the ball that some of them are still underclassmen that haven't even blown up yet, but they're going to. So a ton of talent there, but I think that a Weston Sharks coach team, like I said, we know what they're going to do. They're going to control the line of scrimmage. That's what they make their kind of bread and butter on. I think that you could really kind of put any group of 11 guys out there for Weston Sharks, and you'll give anybody a run. So they have the talent to get it done. Northwest probably has more talent, but it's going to come down to coaching, I think, honestly.
It'll be a lot of fun. TJ, you guys have it covered. Tell us about, some of the pregame coverage before games get underway. Where can everybody find the coverage, and what can we look forward to tonight?
Yeah, tonight Brandon's going to be live out there at Andale for the game of the week. We'll have live coverage starting at 4:30, kind of giving some backstory, some history of the matchup. We talked to both teams, so you can hear what both sides are saying about the game of the week, everything like that. He's going to grab all that stuff. We're going to be live on the 12 News app and the Catch It Kansas Facebook like we're doing every week. It's the 12 News kickoff show. We're going to go through every single game that we're going to be at. We're going to talk about what we expect to see. We're going to make our picks that we make there. See how all that goes. So, and then 10:30, Catch a Kansas show. Should be a full one. No giant shelf clouds rolling in with lightning storms to delay anything this week, I hope.
There it is. Get ready for it. It's another. Wow. Yeah, this will be a little different experience without the weather here. We'd take the rain, but that was wild last week. I wasn't here, but I was watching remotely. All right, TJ, good luck with the coverage today. Be good. Get back to playing college football video games, and we'll do this again next week.
Cool. Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
There goes TJ Cleland. There goes our high school football preview. It is a Catch at Kansas Friday. Go to catchatkansas.com, the free Catch at Kansas app. Get you all covered for everything that you need, not just with high school football, but with all the high school sports. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've covered everything. We have not talked about Thursday night football. We can get more into some of the other football storylines out there as well. Don't go away. Albrock, Caster, Savage, coming back on a Friday. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily on a Friday. This portion of the program brought to you by Crestview Country Club. Get out to Crestview, check out the facilities, great restaurant, great bar, great spot to watch football, great place to play golf with this beautiful golf weather right now. Check out the 36 holes. Tom and I are both out there. We both love it. Head out there, tell them we sent you. Take a tour of the facilities today. Thursday Night Football, fellas, is in the books. Cowboys beat the Giants in an interesting game. Brandon Aubrey, for the first time ever, missed a 50-plus yard field goal to cost a lot of people a lot of money. myself included. I was texting with some Cowboys friends last. I don't think I've ever been more apathetic to a Cowboys season ever. None of it matters. None of it matters. You've got the NFC with significant injuries to all the real contenders, and you sit there and you watch it, and you know that the Cowboys have no shot to win any games of significance this year. So, yippee, they beat the Giants. It's apathy for me when it comes to the Cowboys. Doesn't matter.
Baby steps, my friend. Baby steps. That's all I can say. And you know, Dak showed a couple of you know, nice passes. He made some nice completions. You know, it wasn't eye-popping stats, but not bad. Tommy, it wasn't all that bad. You know, baby steps, my friend. You got to take them as they come. That just so happens this was the week for the Giants. It was probably a good time to play the Giants for the Cowboys. So it's just little things. I mean, you got to start somewhere, Jacob. You don't get good all of a sudden for
most teams. Winning a game in the division on the road, you feel good about. But this team isn't better than it was a year ago. Well, it's worse. I think the window closing business is probably a little much, because if this offensive line with a couple of new members, including Cooper Beebe, by the way, ends up taking steps and is good, they're probably closer with a coaching change to being a really good team again. It just like there's nothing that we see on this team. They're a worse team than they were the last 2 years, Tommy. They're not going to win anything in the playoffs.
You know, I actually kind of thought that, you know, even despite the losses, you know, that they had suffered most recently and, you know, being, you know, basically not looking good offensively whatsoever in the last game against the Ravens, I actually felt like, despite all of that, that, you know, while they are not a great team, I felt like, okay, like they could be something, you know, where maybe a wild card team, kind of that above average, not dominant, but like they could probably get a little bit done at least. And then I think really the biggest thing for me last night that kind of solidified the change of mind that I had, where I'm like, nope, they're not going to do anything, is when Micah Parsons got carted off. And like, we just don't know what the long-term ramifications of that are. We don't know how long he's going to be out. We don't really know the severity of everything up to this point. But that's a huge blow. That's a massive blow for the Cowboys defense with a guy that, you know, really on a team that is primarily average. You know, CeeDee Lamb is above average, but really a lot of the players are primarily average. Micah Parsons was one of the above average, if not elite, players on that roster. If he's out for any extended period of time, for me, yeah, my mind has changed and they're not going to really do much.
He hasn't been that good this year, but he is one of the few bright spots. I mean, Dak looked really good. That's everyone wants to throw it on the feet of Dak, and he hasn't been good in the postseason, but like he was good last night. He made a couple of things that annoyed me, but you know, every quarterback does that. On the other side with the Giants,
well, I believe we lost Jacob in the middle of that. But you know, to his point, you know, basically just knowing that they're what you know, I think he mentioned a coaching change away. I think we have Jacob back now. We lost you there for a moment.
Yeah.
I get where you're coming from on that.
So I was going to ask this about the Giants. It just made me, as I'm watching Malik Nabers just continue to be awesome. You can redraft the wide receivers right now. You get your pick of Harrison, Nabers, Roma Dunze. Who you taking first?
I'm still going to take Harrison long term, but Nabers is right
there.
It's like 1A and 1B. I just think that Harrison is so tantalizing from everything in college, but Nabers is fantastic. He's somebody that,
Could you imagine Nabers plucked in with a good quarterback as a rookie? Oh my goodness, he's so good. I love it. I love these young receivers. Okay, so that covers Thursday Night Football. It was not that exciting. I mean, you know, whatever. It happened, basically. So this week, just real quick, because we're not going to have time to go through this in the final segment. There's too much on these weekends. So just give you a little sort of a what's on tap in the broadcast world here for KFH. So you have the Royals and the Braves. That'll be tonight at 6:00. That's obviously front and center for everybody. Saturday, here's what will happen. You'll get 9 a.m. pregame coverage of K-State and Oklahoma State. That's on KFH. Butler will be also on KFH. They play at 1:00 against a team out of Utah called Snow. And then you'll have the Royals at 6:00 on KFH. So it times out nicely. Everything goes to KFH on Saturday. Then on Sunday, Chiefs pregame coverage on the Chiefs radio network begins at 2 o'clock over on KNSS, as it always is. The Royals will stay on KFH and be at 2 o'clock, and then you get Westwood One coverage of Sunday Night Football, Bills Ravens at 6:30. So it's a busy weekend. But fellas, as we watch all of this, it'll be interesting Sunday. How many televisions? You know, I'm gonna try and be in my basement. I have Chiefs on one, I have the Royals on the other. I'm square. I'm covered. But there's going to be some difficult decisions made for a lot of folks who don't get that luxury and have to just choose one spot to watch on Sunday. Now, if the Royals have it wrapped up, and we hope that they will by Sunday, then it doesn't really matter. But we're all focused in on the Royals, right? Yeah. Even in a football weekend. Yep. Is this a weekend where the Royals capture more of your attention, Tommy?
I think it is. Yeah, I mean, for sure. I think it depends upon when they clinch. I mean, if they clinch tonight, then I may not be, you know, super.
Now.
But at the same time, remember, I'm a Braves fan, too. So they're fighting for a playoff spot at the same time. What's interesting, I was reading about this earlier in the show, and I didn't know that all of this had went down. But apparently, the Braves had an opportunity to move their series up in the week to be able to get everything in with the Mets. And they refused to do so, which I didn't want to know.
Give up the gate.
They didn't want to give up the gate.
That's right.
I didn't know that until today. I didn't really realize that was going on. But they could have played a doubleheader on Tuesday. They could have gotten the third game in early on Wednesday. And then we wouldn't be in this situation. But unfortunately, that didn't happen.
That's where, you know, the people that are blaming Major League Baseball to that story, Paul, baseball should have stepped in and not given the Braves a choice. Baseball does have that authority in weather-related situations to just do what it needs to be done. Honestly, it doesn't bother me that much. And I would probably say this even if I was a fan. I mean, if I'm a Braves fan, I would much rather have played those games early and been able to know. But from a viewing perspective, potentially having that doubleheader is sort of like a little play-in. Bring that on. Heck yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's not good for the Braves or the Mets, but it's good for – it's not bad for baseball. I think it'll end up being fine.
Right.
And I think in a best case scenario, you've got that series deciding that last playoff spot.
Right.
Those two games there.
Just when you think baseball, the game of baseball matters. No, money matters. You know the old saying.
Well, it money, is a business.
Money talks and you know what walks, right? You know what walks. And that's the case here. So, I mean, I don't blame them because, you know, every day of
the Braves were expecting two sellouts. Sure. Like they had two sellouts on the books there.
So why would
that's
they?
A lot of dang money.
Yeah, that is. And so I guess we can't blame them too much. But anyway, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. You know, it's right here, We're there. And
Royals are there. They're not there yet.
They're not there. We're right. We're right.
They're
at the
not there yet, but they're right there. I'm with you. Boy, it'd be what a great moment for Brady Singer tonight. I mean, I highly doubt he gets a playoff start. He would be the guy to me that's the odd man out right now. But if he gets this win to punch their ticket, that would be such a big moment for him. And he's had a great year. I'm not taking anything away from him. He just is the pitcher not pitching the best at this particular moment. But he has that is just a huge opportunity for him tonight.
Think about also, the Royals have pretty much completely rebuilt that pitching rotation in the last season. And I know they went out and acquired Cole Reagans in the middle of last year. But Brady Singer's been around for a few years. He's been the guy that, you know, really they had kind of they wanted initially to make him the centerpiece of the rotation, you know, long term. That really hasn't happened, but he's been with some really bad teams. He's been with some really bad rotations. And now he's in a situation. He's got the possibility of being able to be the guy to clinch it for the Royals tonight. So that's a great position to be in, and hopefully he can get that done.
They get it done tonight. They don't have to worry about it again. And remember, Royals fans, Twins losses are just as valuable as Royals wins. They only need one. They have six potential outcomes to shrink this number. They get six. They just need one. We'll see. They'll take their first shot at it tonight. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock right here on KFH. We'll come back. We'll put a bow on this Friday edition. Don't go away.